Welcome to CYC Podcast Discussions on Child and Youth Care, episode number 134. I'm Wolfgang Vachon. This week is the second in our uploads from the Canadian National CYC Conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, this past May. Today's presentation is by Joe Blake, who speaks about his experiences from CYC student to child and youth care instructor. I hope you enjoy what he has to say.
Hello, everyone. So my name is Joe Blake. I am a recent graduate of the first Ontario-based Child and Youth Care Master's Program. All right. I have some of my classmates here as well, which is great. So I'm just going to take you on a little journey as well, tell you a little bit about my journey from pre-college days all the way to becoming an educator. So as a young person, I struggled with some sort of self-identity. I was raised in an Indigenous home, but I'm obviously clearly white. So I identify as Ojibwe First Nations, but I don't look Native. So this was something I struggled with even till today. Growing up, I always considered myself like an undercover Native. Like I could sneak in and they won't know. I grew up in a predominantly suburban white town, and there was lots of racial slurs said about Indigenous people. And it was my friends saying it to me and to other people, but they didn't know that I was Indigenous. So I was able to hide, but a lot of people aren't able to hide from that. So then this, you know, sort of added to my self-identity crisis, which led to substance abuse, depression, involvement in the criminal justice system, which we'll talk about in a bit. But then after that, I kind of realized that I need to do some more. If I can get through my teenage years, I think I can help some others get through it as well. So I'm like, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to be a youth worker. So I applied, and they said, sorry, due to a failure of a test or an interview, you're denied access. And I said, okay, no problem. I'll apply next year. I'll ace that exam. I'll ace that interview. Applied next year, denied again for the same reasons. And then I found out that the test and interview didn't exist. So I was like, okay. So I protested this. I talked to the college. I called the CYC heads. And they said, this program, these things don't exist. We have no idea why you're being denied twice. No one could explain it to me. No one had a reason. So this just goes to show you how easy people can fall through the cracks, how students can fall through the cracks, and we don't even know. So once I got into college, though, it was amazing. It changed my life. I honestly think CYC saved my life in a lot of ways. I met Rick Kelly. If anyone knows Rick Kelly, I'm sure you all know Rick Kelly. If you have social media, you've seen his stuff. he introduced me to restorative justice. And as an Indigenous person who had been involved in the youth criminal justice system, this made sense to me. It was restorative, it wasn't punitive. It was focused on restoring relationships from harm instead of just focusing on punishing people. And this made sense to me. And it changed my life. So many things will change my life in this slide, you're going to learn. Many life-changing experiences. So restorative justice became a very big passion and a huge focus for me. And then I realized the potential that restorative justice has for not only young people, Indigenous young people, and young people involved in the youth criminal justice system. So after doing college, I figured, why not just go to university as well and get my BA? So in university, I dove deeper into youth criminal justice system, restorative justice, and Indigenous issues. I wrote my independent study, which is like the bachelor's thesis, on Indigenous youth involved in the youth criminal justice system. I met Dr. Judy Finley, which I don't think is here today, but she will be. She introduced me to the Crossover Youth Project. So this is young people who are living in care and are being charged and now crossing over into the youth criminal justice system. And this also led me to learn about the high rates of Indigenous youth in the youth criminal justice system. And then after that, so before the master's level, right at the end of my BA, there was rumors going around that there would be a master's program. So I was in Kyrus's office almost every single day saying, Kyrus, where's the master's program? And eventually he was like, yeah, I'm working on it. And then right as I graduated, they designed it and it was available. And I was part of the first cohort of graduate students of the Child and Youth Care Master's of Arts. So if anyone's done grad school, they know they can relate to this. My favorite is zombies are buried in graves, we're buried in grades. That's my favorite one. So during my master's level experience, I did my placement in an indigenous community up north. And honestly, I was scared shitless to go up there, honestly. Huge levels of anxiety. I was like, oh, making up excuses why I couldn't go. But Judy just kept saying, no, you're going. I'm encouraging you're going. And it changed my life again. It was such an enriching experience going up there. I had my own issues being an indigenous person, and theirs were just, it's just so much more severe up there. But it's amazing. The kids were awesome. It was a great experience. And then when we came back, Dr. Kira Scarabaghi and Dr. Jennifer Martin took our whole master's class out to Victoria last year to present and participate in a CYC conference. When I was in college, Rick encouraged me to go along with him to CYC conferences. And then, so after master's, I became an educator. I know, some people look at me like, you're a professor? But it's great. So I'm currently teaching at four colleges based in Toronto and New York region, and I'm really trying to figure out how to do relational teaching. Can I do it? What's it look like in post-secondary education? Can we as educators actually really relate to our students? Something that we all have to think about. So as a professor, my professors advocated for me to take part in conferences, and it was a great learning experience. It changed my life. I got to meet so many new people, and now I'm trying to figure out how to continue this. So with the help of Charlotte Serpa, Chris Tone, and Humber College, we actually have some students here today from Humber who have been funded, right? Yep. So not only are they attending, they're facilitating conference or workshops, and they're actually presenting today in Education Day. So that's great. So I'm just going to leave you off with this, that the responsibility is ours as educators. Students don't know about these conferences. It's up to us to educate them. And these conferences aren't just for privileged people, which seems to be the majority of people that actually get funding and have the time and money to take off work. So students need to be involved. Educators have the duty to educate their students about conferences, to promote them, to advocate, to get them funding. And the students are the future of our field. So why not get them involved already? So, and we can also teach outside the classroom. This is a great place to learn. So I'm going to leave you with that. Migwich, thank you so much. Thank you, Heather, for involving.
This concludes this month's episode of CYC Podcast. Tune in next time for more discussions on child and youth care. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Visit us on our website at cycpodcast.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cycpodcast.